And for the past year and a half or so, our team has been working to figure out how to take some of the new tablet technology out to the field and use it in the most effective way possible to collect our field data. This is something people across many different commodities are interested in because it's designed to make our whole system go that much faster and easier. And I think right now with the new technologies, we are at a generational transition in how we collect field breeding data. So I've entitled my talk, Field Notes, The Next Generation. I've been working on this project in coordination with our graduate student, Dave Eicholt, and our technician, Corey Callahan. And this project all got started because our traditional data system looks very much like this. We used to take handwritten notes on paper field books, and these were very difficult to prep for analysis. They take up a lot of space in the lab. They're very hard to error check. And we wanted to find a way, when we needed to be analyzing data, we had to spend several days typing in and error checking the data at a time when we needed to be getting our data analyzed, reports out to our granting agencies and to others, and advancement decisions made for the next generation, for the next season. So for the rest of the talk, I'd like to walk you through a process of kind of what we've learned along the way and things you might need to consider if you wanted to adopt a similar system, and some of the details of how our system that we put up works. Before I get started, I want to give the standard disclaimer. I'm going to talk a lot about different technologies, different brands of tablets and things. This is all just my personal recommendations. None of it is an official USDA endorsement of anything. So that's just the standard disclaimer. And it's also absolutely true. So the first thing I would recommend is to consider the human factor, because this is one of the most important factors in setting up a new system. This would have a big impact on your whole lab. You'd need to talk to your people openly. Is everyone comfortable with computers? And do you trust electronic data storage and data backup? Everyone's at a different comfort level with this, and it's something you need to consider in your lab. And tied very closely to this are the objectives that we had with starting the project. We wanted to reduce thinking in the field. In general, if you're in a situation where you have to do a lot of thinking in the field, usually that means either something has gone wrong, there's been a planting error that you have to keep track of, or something may be about to go wrong because there might be mental math errors or measurement errors or something. We also wanted to save time in the annual cycle. And as a general guideline, more information, more accurately and sooner, is always better in a research program. To put this into practice, we developed user-friendly interfaces, error checking on the go, and automatic collection of more data instantly. Okay. After discussing with the human factor, it's time to choose your hardware. The main things you would need to select a tablet is to consider whether it's outdoor-friendly, which means it needs to be visible in sunlight and also be durable enough to stand up in the field. For an operating system, we went with a full version of Windows and a full version of Excel because our system is based on Excel macros. But to implement such a thing in your own lab, you would need to make sure that the operating system is compatible with whatever software you want to run on it. With some collaborators, we checked out several tablets, including rugged tablets. We decided for our lab, these were too expensive, and they were kind of heavy for carrying around in the field all day. So eventually we settled on a Dell Venue 8 Pro, which is around $300 or so. Because it has a built-in polarized screen, it's very visible in sunlight, and we put on an anti-glare screen protector specially made for this tablet that makes it even more visible in sunlight, and we also bought a cover case. You can get a stylus if you would like one, and you're also going to want a thumb drive and a dongle like the cable there to back up your data later. Step three, after you get the hardware, it was time to integrate it into the program. We decided to develop the system in Excel because most people are familiar with it and it readily interfaces with most databases and statistical software programs. And we also created a Field Notes tab up in the ribbon that allows us access to our programs in the way most people are familiar with in Excel. And you can see up here, we have a section for taking field notes, and the next section I'll talk about now is pop-up instruction menus. These are instructions on what to do in each trait when you're in the field. they're a good review because you probably haven't taken notes on that trait for a year. And they're good after you train new people the first few times they go out to the field. It's a good quick review for them as well. Oh, so after a quick review of the instructions, it's time to get familiar with the interfaces. This is an example of one of our interfaces. In soybeans, we use flower color as a genotypic identifier. There's only a handful of color choices for it, and they're all completely determined by genotype. There's no environmental effect or no significant environmental effect. And it's also a good example of our interfaces. Up on the left, we have our plot information that's read straight out of the field book in Excel, so you can quickly see what test and plot you're in and what genotype you're looking at. Over here on the right, we have our primary buttons for data entry. This is the start of entering data and also error checking data. Because these limit your value choices, this is all the possible value choices for soybeans. You won't ever see a soybean that doesn't have one of these five choices. So that really helps reduce errors. And finally, most of the time when you walk through a field, you're going to want to take more than one trait on a single walkthrough. So we've also added other traits into many of our interfaces. And in this case, we take a narrow leaf trait at the same time we take flower. And all you have to do is punch this button to note if it's narrow leaf or not. Okay. After you get familiar with interfaces, it's time to start collecting data. Here's another example of one of our pop-up menus. Okay, and it gives some of the more powerful features of it. This is a maturity date calculator. Southern U.S. soybean breeding teams generally calculate maturity with a set date, October 1st equals day one. Anything that matures earlier than that gets a negative maturity. Anything that matures after that, you just count your days. Okay. This calculation, the code behind this interface calculates a number for maturity and does also all the math required. Because the computer knows what day it is, you don't have to do any mental math or remember what day it is. You just have to know whether it matured today, a few days ago, or a few days from now. So this really saves time in the field, and it reduces human error. For step 7, as I mentioned earlier, more data is always a good thing. So whenever you punch one of those buttons to record a particular trait value on a plot, the date that you take that trait is also automatically recorded and stored off to the right. This isn't something you need to interact with. It just happens when you collect data. Over here in these columns to the right, there's also space for taking notes. Many of our interfaces we've developed have a separate text box that shows up as part of the interface where you can call up the keyboard on the tablet and take notes there. So if you see herbicide damage or deer damage or anything else that's an incidental note, you can just record it and it'll appear over here on the right. Okay. For step 8, as I mentioned, it's also important to have more accurate data. And this is much harder to get when you're taking handwritten notes or even using some of the older handhelds. But with current computing power, we were able to develop a system that allows automatic error checking on the go. For several traits we take in soybeans, they're completely determined by genotype, and the checks we use commonly in our program have known values for things like flower color, pubescence color, leaf shape, and hilum. And this example here is taking flower color on one of our common lines, NC Roy. NC Roy has white flowers. We know that because it's been a check in our program for years. But as you can see here, the P that appears here in this one is for purple flowers. And if that happens, you're going to instantly get a pop-up message telling you that you've entered an unexpected color. Okay? And at that point, you can look up and find out what's going on with your plots. Maybe there's a planting error. Maybe you're in the wrong plot. Okay? And it also highlights yellow so that you can find it easier later when you need to do some more error checking and more in-depth looking at your data. Okay? But as in most breeding programs, most of our plots are not check lines, and most of our traits do not have strictly genotypic values. They're heavily impacted by the environment. This is true for things like maturity, lodging, height, and wilting. The other characteristic these traits have in common is they're all numbers. So what we do is we compare the same genotype within the same environment across multiple reps. We've set a value that we consider an acceptable range for such a situation, function, and then we compare each rep of that particular genotype to every other rep in that test in that environment. And if the values you enter are further apart than the predetermined value, you get a pop-up message like this one that says genotype has highly variable, in this case, maturity depths. But the same holds true for lodging, height, and wilting. Only the words would be slightly different. Okay. So we feel like this makes a much more powerful error checking system. Okay. Step 9 that we also put into the program is to help us identify field patterns. You can see here on this picture, we show a wilting map. This is a field map that's been copied and pasted into the same Excel file and on another spreadsheet. And each time when you enter a particular wilting score for a plot, the code in the background automatically highlights this, identifies the cell on the map, and highlights it according to the value you've put in. We have these color-coded maps for lodging, wilting, and certain insect and nutrition and nutrient deficiency traits. And in this case, where a bird's-eye view of the field might be a very handy thing to have. Some things it's easier to see on the ground in some patterns. Some patterns like this, it's easier to see with a bird's eye view. And in this particular example, you can see they appear pretty randomly because this was me testing it out. But what you can see is the greener plots mean it's less wilted, and the browner plots mean it's more wilted. Kind of an intuitive system there that we have. Okay. And step 10, the final step of what you would need to do, is to make sure that your data is secure. So you're going to want to back it up. So, depending on what kind of tablet you get, you may need to get a dongle cable like is on top there so that you can plug a thumb drive into your tablet. Then you can just take the thumb drive and field in the morning and cable with you into the field in the morning. And every time you stop for a break, you can copy your files over from the tablet onto the thumb drive, and then you have a backup right there in the field. Okay. And then as soon as you get home, this also makes it a lot easier to copy the data over onto your server. And from there, it would be further backed up according to your normal IT policies. And many IT teams would have a policy of backing a server up at least once a day. You would need to talk to your own IT people about their policies on that. To wrap up, a quick summary of the potential benefits of such a system. We believe it can save time, and in an era when time is money, this is very important. Because there's no typing data in later when you need to be analyzing data and getting reports out. And there's also no having to decipher anyone's chicken scratches and track people down to ask what they meant there. Okay. We believe there will also be fewer errors because of the limited value choices, the instant error checking, and the calculations that are now done by the computer instead of having to be done by someone in their head. We believe more data, like recording the dates and highlighting the field maps, is a valuable thing that supplements what we have here. And finally, the ability to back up the data right in the field and back it up again when you get home makes your data a lot safer than it would be with a single copy of a field book. Lastly, some acknowledgments. I certainly haven't done this on my own. My two co-authors, Dave Eicholt and Corey Callahan, are here in the top row. I need to thank my boss, Tommy Carter, who's the research leader for our unit, for purchasing the tablets and allowing me the time to work on this. And our part-time technicians, Abigail Dexter-Boone and Amy Neuwahoner, and finally my colleague at Georgia, Gina Bishop, for her author advice and input.